Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Today we can argue our way into 2021 with our favorite combatants, John and Blanche Bickerson. Today's show will be a bit different in that we do not have the entire half-hour old gold show for you. What we do have are the Bickerson segments from three shows, which aired, as far as I can tell, on April 23rd, April 30th, and May 14th, all in 1948. There's a lot of conflicting information out there about the air dates and the contents of this one season of the Old Gold Show that starred the Bickersons. That was the 1947-1948 season. There's a lot of mislabeled episodes floating around out there. And that's why I say, as far as I can tell, about the original air dates. And that's part of the reason also why we don't have the entire shows. We only have the Bickerson segments. But here now are the Bickersons, starring Don Ameche and Frances Langford.
Hello? Yes, Mrs. Peavy. I've been away for 3 days. I just walked in. Oh, I know. I'm terribly sorry. I'll see if I can stop him. Good night. What are you dreaming about?
Of course, girls.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. Mrs. Peavy just called again about your snoring. She's getting up a petition to have us thrown out of our apartment.
What for?
Because you're disturbing everybody's sleep. She says you sound like a hot, fierce, reciprocating force pump draining a peat bog in front of you.
What are you talking about, Blanche?
You heard me. The neighbors won't stand for it much longer. That Mrs. Peavy says she's had enough. She's revolting.
I know. I've seen her. Husband's no bargain either. Put out the lights.
Stop it if you want to. I know you can. No other man snores like you.
How do you know?
I talk to my women friends. Their husbands sleep so quietly they have to keep waking them to see if they're dead.
No use. They get you coming or going.
That's the third call I've had this week. I wouldn't mind so much, except I can hardly walk to the phone on this horrible sprained ankle of mine.
Who told you to sprain your ankle?
Nobody told me. I was trying to hang my clothes in the closet, and I slid my foot on one of your old bourbon bottles.
Heavens, Blanche, did you break it?
No, it's only in a frame.
I mean the bottle.
The bottle was empty, and I might have known you wouldn't be thinking of me.
Always thinking of you. Put out the lights,
baby. I will not. My ankle's so swollen now, I think I better call the doctor.
You don't need the doctor. If you keep exercising it, it'll be fine. Go take a walk around the block.
I just know I can't walk at all anymore.
How do you know until you test it? Go on, kick the cat a few times and see how it feels.
How can you be like that, John? Why don't you do something for me?
In the morning.
I can't understand what's happened to you, John. You used to be so considerate. Since you married me, you've got no sympathy at all.
I have, too. I got everybody's sympathy.
That's right. Add insult to injury. The least you can do is get up and massage my ankle.
Okay, I'll massage it. Where's the chicken fat?
Chicken fat? You and your insane remedies. Go get one of those elastic bandages.
Where will I get an elastic bandage at 2 o'clock in the morning?
There's an all-night drugstore 3 blocks from here.
Blanche, darling, just rest now, and I'll get you the bandage in the morning.
What good is that? How do I know my ankle will still hurt in the morning?
I'll twist it. Please, Blanche, will you let me get a couple of hours sleep? You know I got an interview for a new job tomorrow.
You still haven't told me why you got fired, John.
I'll tell you why. It's because you keep me awake all night, and when I get to the office, I'm dead on my feet.
Just like a man. Blame me. Losing your job has nothing to do with losing your sleep.
Not much.
You don't concentrate on your work because you've lost your ambition. You're not the same man I married, John.
Brother, you can say that again.
Whatever happened to your get up and go?
It got up and went.
I'll tell you what happened. You've lost interest in everything except that precious bourbon of yours.
Now, just a minute, Blanche.
I married a great big corkscrew.
I was sick, Blanche.
I don't care.
You can accuse me of not having any ambition or anything else, but drinking is not one of my failures.
No, it's one of your few successes.
The only reason I use bourbon is because the doctor prescribed it. He said I'd stop snoring if I took a jigger of bourbon and two aspirins every night.
That's not what you do, though.
Yes, it is.
It is not. You're 6 months behind on the aspirin and 2 years ahead on the bourbon.
Well, aspirin gives me a headache. Stop talking like that. I never touch the stuff when I'm working.
Then why do you keep getting fired?
Because no man can serve two masters.
Well, it's my fault, David. Since when do I boss you around? You know very well I let you have your own way in almost everything I want.
You've been running me for years.
I have not.
It started right at the altar. When I said I do, you said, oh, no, you don't.
Put out the light.
What?
I said, put out the light.
You mean you're actually going to let me sleep?
I let you sleep for a whole week, didn't I?
3 days. And you wanted to stay with your sister. I didn't tell you to go.
Well, I just hate to think of what you've done to this place since I've been gone. I suppose you left a stack of dirty dishes in the sink.
No dishes.
Were the animals fed regularly?
Every day.
Well, the water in the goldfish bowl should have been changed yesterday.
I changed it. I cleaned up everything.
How's the canary?
I don't know. I haven't seen him since I vacuumed his cage. Oh, don't blow your top. The canary's fine.
And don't frighten me like that. Where's Nature Boy?
Who's Nature Boy?
The cat. Did you let him out tonight?
No.
Why not?
He never came in. Listen, Blanche, I knocked myself out working all day and then come home and have to play nursemaid to a broken-down canary and an alley cat.
He's a beautiful cat, and I love it.
Well, I hate him.
You wouldn't feel that way if you get a little friendly with him. It's easy to make up to a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you bring him something to play with?
I'll bring him a dog in the morning. Good night, Blanche.
I suppose I'll have to get some groceries in the morning. Are there any eggs for breakfast?
No.
Then you'll have to eat out.
Doesn't matter. I've been doing it for 3 days.
Why didn't you eat home? There was plenty of food here in the house. I left you enough food for a whole week.
Go to sleep.
I cooked a whole bathtub full of rice. What happened to it?
I took a bath in it.
Why didn't you eat it?
I told you a million times I can't stand the sight of rice.
Why not?
Because it's connected with one of the saddest mistakes in my life. And why don't you let me sleep?
Care how I feel, but you'll be sorry after I'm gone.
Where are you going?
Leave me alone.
What's the matter, Blanche? Is it your ankle again? What is it?
No, I've got that other dreadful pain again.
What pain?
It's my head. I've had it off and on for 3 weeks.
Well, take it off now and go to sleep.
Well, of all the unseen...
Now, look, Blanche, I know about that pain in your head. You knocked it against the cupboard, and I happen to know you did it on purpose.
Well, what if I did? I only did it to get a little sympathy from you.
Blanche, you're the most selfish woman in the world. You're always killing yourself to get my sympathy. Last year, you had your appendix removed. 6 months ago, you had your tonsils taken out. 2 weeks ago, you had 5 teeth pulled. You'll run out of parts before I come out.
You keep your voice down. Do you want to wake little George?
Who's little George?
Clara's baby.
Who's Clara?
My sister, the one I stayed with in Peapack.
Peapack?
Have you forgotten that Clara and Barney had a baby?
Are you talking about that hulking dollop that weighed 17 pounds when he was born?
16, and he isn't hulking. He's 3 months old, and he barely weighs 90 pounds.
90 pounds?
And that's with his clothes on.
He only wears a diaper.
I told you to lower your voice, John. You'll wake him up.
Oh, how can he hear me in Peapack?
He isn't in Peapack. He's in the bathroom.
Bathroom? What's that elephant doing in my bathroom?
I brought him back with me. Clara and Barney are going to a formal at the United Nations pool hall.
Couldn't they get a sitter for one night?
Well, I wanted the baby here to keep me company while you're in the hospital.
I must be going out of my mind. What's this hospital bit?
Well, Dr. Hersey's arranged everything. You're not working now, and you've got the time. At 8 o'clock in the morning, he's going to operate on you and snip your pedicle.
What for?
To cure your snoring. I packed your bag and everything.
What does that man want from me? Last week he wanted to shorten my uvula. Now he wants to snip my pedicle.
Now don't go getting excited. Dr. Hersey says you're to get a good night's rest and be in a basal state for the operation.
I knew you were up to something. Put out the lights.
Yes, dear. Soon as you give George his 3 o'clock feeding.
What?
Warm it in the kitchen. Warm it up and take it in soon. Go on, John. Get up and feed the baby.
Nobody would believe this. Where's my slipper?
I didn't pack it in the bag. It's still under your pillow.
You packed everything else in there. Why didn't you pack the slipper?
Well, I didn't know how soon you'd be walking.
Walking? I thought he was going to operate on my nose.
He is, but you never can tell about complications.
What a life I lead. A short uvula, no pedicle, and one slipper.
Oh, hurry up and get George's formula before he starts to cry. And the cat's home again. Careful you don't step on him.
Where's this formula? I can't find any formula.
It's in the icebox, right next to the flounder I bought for dinner.
There's no flounder and no formula. Put out the light.
Did you look in the yellow bowl?
I looked in the yellow bowl.
Well, what's in it?
Just the cat.
John Bickerson, did that cat eat the flounder in George's food?
I don't know, but he's sitting in the icebox, picking his teeth with the bones and wiping his face with a diaper.
That's terrible. What'll we feed little George?
Feed him the cat.
How can you be so heartless, John? The child has to be fed every half hour. He's wasting away.
Wasting away? He weighs more than I do.
I think I hear him yelping already. Go in there and rock him to sleep.
I'll be glad to. Where's the rock?
Now, you stop talking like that. I'm responsible for that child, and you'd better see that he's fed.
What do you want me to give him, Blanche?
Clara gave me a half a dozen cans of baby food. Go on, get up and boil him some.
I'll boil him. This is the nice rest I get before I go to the hospital to get my nose whacked off. Where's the stuff?
On the kitchen table, and you needn't warm it or put it into a dish. He's hungry enough to eat it as it is. Just take it to him in the can.
All right, all right. Put out the lights.
Have you gone crazy, John? What do you mean throwing the can in there like that? How do you expect him to get at the food?
There's a can opener on the wall.
John Pickerson.
Oh, please, Blanche. He isn't hungry and he isn't crying. He's in there sleeping like a horse.
Even look at him.
I didn't have to look at him. I heard him snoring. Please let me get a little rest. I'll never be strong enough for the operation tomorrow.
Oh, don't be so dramatic about the operation. Thousands of people have operations every day. You wouldn't hear me carry on like that if I was going to have an operation.
Not much. You had to take ether to have glasses fitted.
Well, I'm very sensitive around the eyes. Anyway, the surgery you're going to have is not a bit serious.
It isn't going to be serious because I'm not gone. I'm not going, baby!
You have to. I've already paid Dr. Hersey. He wanted $40 for the operation and $10 for the anesthetic.
I'll take the anesthetic without the operation.
You're getting the operation without the anesthetic.
What? That's the last straw, Blanche.
Now you've done it. George is awake.
Who's George?
The baby. You woke him up.
I don't care. I didn't send for him.
Well, you go get him. Bring him out here and I'll take care of him. Go on, John. Get George.
Oh, what's the use? Where's my slipper?
You packed it back in your bag.
What did you pack these lace curtains in here for?
They're not lace curtains. Those are your shorts. I made a mistake. Instead of draining them in Rinso, I rinsed them in Drano.
Well, where's my other pair? Why didn't you pack those?
Well, I couldn't. The baby's wearing them. Clara forgot to leave a change.
You should have bought him something.
Well, I tried. He wears an outsized diaper, and they have to be made to order. Hurry up and wheel him out.
3 months old. Look at the size of him. He's built like a brick schoolhouse.
He's a perfectly normal, healthy baby. He can't help it if he's big. His mother and father are big.
Big what?
I think he's adorable.
He looks just like Clara. Turn him over. Let me see his face.
That is his face.
Oh. Was this crib made to order for him?
Of course not. You can buy them anywhere for $3.98.
So that's little George.
Yes, and I'm going to have the pleasure of him all the time you're in the hospital. Look at him lying there like a little cherub. So innocent and sweet. Soon he'll be walking, and in a little while he'll begin to talk. He'll say such cute things. And his first day at school, he'll be so scared. Maybe he'll be a wonderful scholar or a great athlete. He'll grow into manhood, handsome and strong. He might be a doctor or a lawyer. He might even grow up to be the president of the United States. Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking of, darling?
How can they make a crib like that for $3.98?
Good night, George.
Good night, Blanche. Good night, George.
And Francis Langford as John and Blanche Dickerson in The Honeymoon is Over. John Bickerton has finally succumbed to his wife's demand for a larger apartment and promised to raise enough money to put down on a house. To this end, he has taken on another job. And 1 o'clock in the morning finds the weary John Bickerton returning home from his new position. Listen.
Oh, my bed.
John, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
How's the new job, dear?
I hate it.
You hate it?
Yes, I hate it. And I'm glad I hate it, because if I didn't hate it, I'd like it, and I hate it. Is the kettle on the stove?
No, I didn't know what time you were coming home. Are you going right to bed?
I'm going to make some hot tea and bathe my feet.
Can't you bathe your feet in plain water?
I am going to bathe them in plain water. I want some hot tea to drink. You go to sleep.
Well, I don't see any reason for you to be so disagreeable, John. I haven't done anything to you.
No, you haven't done anything. All day and all night, you beef about getting a bigger place to live in. It isn't bad enough. I work like a slave on one job. You force me to take another one. I'm so tired, I can't see.
I don't see why we should live in this rat mess when all our friends have such lovely homes. You can't blame me for wanting to better myself.
Well, stop wanting to better me.
It's a wife's duty to see that her husband gets ahead in the world. You can't say I'm not trying, John.
No, Blanche, I can't say you're not trying. You're the most trying woman I ever met in my life.
That's the face I get. Don't walk out on me when I'm talking to you, John. Hello.
Mrs. Bickerton, this is Dr. Hersey.
Oh, hello, doctor.
I got a message from Ice King to call you whenever I came in. Is something wrong?
Well, I was worried about those drops you gave me for my eyes. There aren't any instructions on the label.
Drops for your eyes?
Yes. Do I put them in before or after meals?
Mrs. Dickerson, you can put them in before, after, and during meals. Is that all?
No. I wish you'd have a talk with John. I swear I don't know what's come over the man, Doctor. He tears around here in a fury, and he keeps picking on me.
Well, have him drop into my office tomorrow.
He can't
morning.
Come to your office. He just took another job, and he doesn't have the time.
You mean he has two jobs?
Yes, but he doesn't seem to like this new job very much. He's working for the streetcar company. It's really a wonderful position.
As I imagine it is. Well, Mrs.
I can't understand why he resents it so much.
Why don't you stop yapping about my business,
well.
Blanche?
Excuse me a minute, Doctor. Keep quiet. It's Dr. Hersey, and I don't want him to hear you yelling.
Well, get off the phone and stop blabbing about my private affairs.
Oh, Dr. Hersey, here's John now. He wants to talk to you. John?
I don't want to talk to him.
John, you better take this phone off.
All right. Hello.
Yes, Bickerton?
Yes, what?
Dad, you're not feeling too well. You're not in bad shape physically, but your mental attitude could be improved.
It could, huh?
I think so. Bickerton, I'm afraid you're working too hard. If I were you, I'd go out and have a good time with my wife.
Okay, where does your wife live?
What was that?
I said I'll think about it, Doctor. Good night. Now, what's the idea, Blanche? Why must you tell everybody everything that goes on in my life?
Well, what's wrong with telling people you have another job?
Just don't do it, that's all. I'm not too proud of slaving 7 years as a dog food salesman without having you tell everybody I work for the streetcar company.
There's nothing to be ashamed of.
Well, huh? Don't do it.
Oh, stop yelling. Just take off your conductor's uniform and go to bed.
I've never been so embarrassed in all my life.
Well, what's wrong with being a streetcar conductor?
Nothing's wrong with it. I just don't like your friends getting on at every corner and staring at me. How come all your friends suddenly decided to ride on the streetcar? And why did they wait for mine?
Are you crazy, John? I told them to ride with you.
What for?
Don't you want to do a good business? How can they patronize some rival streetcar conductor who they don't even know?
What?
Fold your pants neatly so you'll look nice tomorrow night. Wear the nickels, John.
I got 15 cents in my pocket.
15 cents? I sent you over 40 customers myself.
You don't think I keep that money, do you? I have to turn it into the company.
All of it?
Yes, all of it. What are you hitting at, Blanche?
I didn't say anything, did I?
No, but I know what you're thinking, and you better get those ideas out of your head.
What ideas?
Never mind what ideas. I'm beginning to understand how that no good brother of yours can drive around in a big Cadillac on a bank teller's salary.
My brother never stole a cent from the bank, and you know it.
All right, I'll apologize to him when he gets out of jail.
John Bickerton!
Forget it, I want to get some sleep. Don't like those hints at all.
Well, don't leave your pants on the chair. Hang them up.
Okay, hang them up.
Oh, did all those knickers come from?
But you must know I hit the jackpot on a slot machine. Are you satisfied?
Yes, dear.
What do you mean, yes, dear? What kind of talk is that?
I said yes, dear.
Well, you don't have to say it like that. I swear I won it in a slot machine. Don't you believe me?
Of course I believe
you. That's the last straw. If you're going to accuse me of...
John! Why don't you hush up and go to sleep?
Yes, go to sleep, she tells me. Stumble around from one job to another. Work like a horse. And she thinks I'm snagging nickels.
Oh, hush.
Oh, my whole body aches. Go to sleep, she says. Oh, I'll never sleep another wink. As long. This corner. Move to the rear of the car, please.
Yes.
Right here, pairs, please. One for me and one for you.
What's the matter, Baxter? I want to sleep.
But don't make so much noise. I'd like to sleep, too.
Oh.
You didn't put the light out in the kitchen.
I did.
I think I see a light under the door.
No light.
You take care of the cat?
No.
Why not?
Cat can take care of himself.
What about the goldfish and the canary?
Cat'll take care of them, too.
Don't be funny. Were the animals hungry?
Starving.
What are they eating?
Each other. Oh, they've got plenty to eat. Why don't you let me sleep, Blanche?
All you have to do is give me a civil answer.
Civil.
Just tell me what you gave the goldfish to eat.
Eggs.
Eggs?
Eggs. 15 poached eggs, and the cat had the same.
Where'd all those eggs come from?
The canary laid them.
Lay eggs, and he's a male.
How do you know?
His name is Dickie, isn't it?
What do you want from me? Are you deliberately trying to keep me awake?
I don't see how you can go to sleep without kissing me goodnight.
I can do it.
Oh, you paid dearly for that. You'd better say you're sorry, John.
I'm sorry.
You are not.
I am, too. I'm the sorriest man that was ever born.
What's happened to you, John?
Nothing.
We were so happy last week. You were like your old self when we went to Al Homer's wedding.
Oh.
You danced with me and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wonderful wedding, wasn't it?
Wonderful.
Such a sweet girl he married, too.
Sweet, sweet.
She's from Indiana, and somebody told me she once won a beauty contest. Do you believe that, John?
Believe what?
I don't believe she'd win a beauty contest. She's too big in the first place.
In the second place, too.
I can't imagine what a nice boy like Al Homer could see in her. Did you notice how she dominated Al?
Mm.
John, do you like overpowering women?
I don't know. I never overpowered any. All right, will you, Blanche?
I don't see why you gave her such an expensive wedding present. Did she like it, John?
Who?
Al Homer's bride. Did she like the bathing suit you gave her?
Yes, she loved it. You should have seen her beam when she got into it.
Now, here are Donna Meachie and Francis Langford as John and Blanche Bickerson in The Honeymoon is Over.
This day, the 14th of May, 1948, will go down in history as precedent-shattering. John Bickerson is smiling. Despite the lateness of the hour, the fact that he has had perhaps the hardest day of his life at the office, John Bickerson is smiling. Why? Tell us, John.
2 weeks vacation. With pay. Oh, wait till I tell Blanche. Brother, I've longed for this. I'll sew myself into the bedsheet and sleep for 10 days.
John?
Hello, Blanche. How is my beautiful wife?
What?
Would you like me to bring you a glass of milk and a cookie? And here is a little present for you. Oh, you look wonderful, honey.
Oh, this is awful.
What's the matter?
This morning I burned my hand on the stove. I ripped my only pair of nylons. My inlay fell out, and now you come home drunk.
What are you talking about? I'm not drunk, and you know it.
Then why are you so nice to me?
What's the use? When I come home tired and can't smile, she beats. When I come home and try to be pleasant, she accuses me. Put out the lights.
You're not going to bed with your shoes on.
Yes, I am. I work like a horse. I might as well sleep like a horse.
Why'd you bring me a present? What have you been up to, John?
Oh, stop it.
A husband doesn't bring his wife a present unless he's done something wrong.
I've brought you a million presents, and I've never done anything wrong.
Never?
Not since the day I married you. Let me sleep.
You're asleep. That's the easiest way out when you've got a guilty conscience.
Blanche, I tell you, I haven't got a guilty conscience.
Then why did you buy me an expensive present?
It isn't an expensive present. It's the crummiest present I could find.
I believe that, all right. What is it?
Why don't you open it and see?
I bet you've gone and throw away your money on some stupid thing I can't even use.
Oh, you can use it fine.
A home beauty outfit.
Yeah, it's got everything. Just what you need.
Wrinkle cream? Freckle remover? Hair darkener, false eyelashes, chin-reducing strap. What kind of a present do you call this? What are you hinting at?
How did I know what was in it?
Nobody would use this but a homely woman.
Oh, that's not true. All women use it.
They do not. Only the homely ones, and I wouldn't touch it.
The sales girl in the drugstore said she uses it all the time, and she's not half as homely as you are.
What?
I mean, she's just as pretty as you.
That's just about what happened. You walked into a drugstore, saw a pretty face, and didn't know what you were buying.
I didn't look at her face at all.
If you're going to buy me a present, why didn't you get me something I could use? Why didn't you get me an ounce of Taboo?
What's that?
It's my favorite perfume.
Well, you got a dresser full of perfume. Taboo, Sabu, Snafu, and Sterno. All perfume from any woman alive. Look at those bottles.
They're all empty, and it's all your fault. You left the cork out and it evaporated.
I leave the cork out of my bourbon, don't I?
What about it?
That never evaporates.
You never give it a chance. It's different with perfume, and I don't see why I should go without it because of your nasty habits. What do you think makes the thing dry up, John?
I wish I knew.
Don't be so funny.
Oh, I'm not funny. I'm sleepy. You know, I worked at the office for 18 hours without a let-up.
That's what you said you did.
That's what I did. I did it for what I thought was a good reason, but now I'm sorry.
Why?
Forget it.
What is it, John? What happened? You lost your job.
I didn't lose my job. I got 2 weeks vacation with pay. It's the first vacation I've had in 7 years, and I wanted to enjoy it. But no, you wouldn't stand for that, would you?
How can you say that, John? Of course I want you to enjoy yourself. Where's the money?
Two full weeks' pay. Now, do you mind if I rest?
You know, John, I haven't had a vacation either. A change of scene will do us both a world of good. If you're so tired, there's only one thing for you to do. He's doing it. Money was. What? Here it is. 2 weeks paid.
Blanche, put that money back.
I thought you were sleeping, dear.
What are you doing with that money? What's the matter, Blanche?
I'm not doing anything. I'm just counting it to see if they gave you the right amount.
It's the right amount. Put it back and go to sleep.
You needn't talk like that. I wasn't going to steal it.
Who said you were?
Just like you to make a crack like that.
I didn't make any cracks at all.
Go on, call the police and have me arrested. Put me in prison.
Nobody's putting you in prison.
They'll lock me up in solitary confinement. Rats running all over me in my cell, and I stand helpless, shaking at the iron bars. No way to escape.
Blanche.
Why don't you send me a hacksaw, John?
Stop getting hysterical.
Now, don't go accusing me of taking your money. It's half mine anyway.
It's all yours.
All I want is sleep.
I don't see why we can't go away on a vacation for a few days.
You go. I told you I'm going to do nothing but sleep for the whole 2 weeks.
You'll have to get up sometime.
Not even once.
How are you going to collect your unemployment insurance?
What unemployment insurance?
You're going to be out of work for 2 weeks.
You can't collect unemployment insurance if you've got a job.
If you're not working, you haven't got a job, have you?
Well, that's different.
Why?
I don't know why. Nobody does it, that's all.
Well, what's the good of unemployment insurance if you don't get any money when you're unemployed?
Being on a vacation is not the same as being unemployed.
Don't tell me.
What?
Clara's husband, Barney, has never worked in his life, and he collects his unemployment check every week.
He can't collect any checks if he doesn't work.
I thought you said they only pay when you don't work.
That's right. But you have to work before you can be out of work so you have a legitimate kind of money you earn that you don't get.
I don't get it.
Oh, leave me alone.
And I'm telling you now, John, you've got 2 weeks off and you're going to do one of two things. Do you hear me?
I hear you.
Either you start collecting your unemployment insurance or else you fill in those 2 weeks with another job.
Another job? This is my vacation.
I don't care. It won't hurt you to work those 2 weeks and we could use the money.
Okay, I'll get another job in the morning.
You say it, but you won't do it. Do it now.
What?
Go on, get up and get a job, you loafer.
Can I get at 2 o'clock in the morning?
What's the matter with being a night watchman?
I won't do it. I won't do it. You've got no right to deprive me of my 2 weeks off. I don't care what happens. I won't get another job.
All right, then. Promise you'll take me away on a vacation.
There's no way out. I promise.
Will you swear?
Every minute that we're away.
We'll go. Lake Tahoe. I'll only have to buy a few more dresses, and you can wear your dungarees all the time. Just tell him you came in from fishing. And if it gets cold, I know just the thing. Let me show you what I picked up on sale yesterday.
I don't want to see it.
Just look at this, John. Isn't it stunning?
What's so stunning about a bath rug?
It's a fur cape, silly.
Well, where's the fur?
That's the way it's supposed to look. It's the very latest style. Sheared beaver.
Sheared beaver?
It's been clipped.
So have I.
Oh, you have not. This is worth every penny, John. You know I'm a good judge of fur.
Oh, sure. In the past 2 years, you bought a bald mink and a plucked skunk.
Well, what's wrong with them?
The mink stinks and the skunk shrunk. Blanche, how much did you pay for this one?
Only $94.
$94? Oh, Blanche, you didn't. Get that money back. You hear me? Get it back.
Don't get hysterical.
Blanche, how could you do this to me? I deny myself everything. I've been sewing rubber heels on your old pocketbooks and wearing them for shoes. I've been eating the panties out of my overcoat shoulders to save on breakfast cereal. I don't even drink my bourbon anymore. I just chew the cork and hit myself on the head with a rock.
You bought a bag of popcorn yesterday.
That wasn't popcorn. My teeth fell out from malnutrition. I'm warning you, Blanche. Drop dead. Blanche, you're not going to get away with such. What do you want?
Hello, Dickerson. This is Mr. Guernsey.
My boss. Yes, Mr. Guernsey.
I hate to be calling you at this hour, Dickerson, but something very urgent has come up.
What happened, Guernsey?
I just received word that our Chicago plant burned down and we weren't covered. This morning I filed bankruptcy proceedings and I'm closing up for good.
What?
I trust you'll find a new position and I do wish you good luck.
Well, thanks.
By the way, Dickerson, would you mind sending back that 2 weeks' salary I gave you? I need every penny I can scrape together.
Yeah, sure. I'll send it. Goodbye. Well, did you hear that, Blanche?
No, what was it?
My boss, Mr. Guernsey. Lost my job.
Wonderful!
Wonderful? What's wonderful about it?
Now you can collect your unemployment insurance.
Please send your questions and comments to host@classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Monday for another episode of The Bickersons and check in on Wednesday for the next installment of The Bob Hope Show. Please go to our website, classiccomedyotr.com. Click on the Become a Patron button to support our show on an ongoing basis, or click on the Donate button to support our show on a single-time basis via PayPal. However you support our show, it's much needed and much appreciated. Until next time, in the words of Benjamin Franklin, guests, like fish, begin to smell after 3 days.